for a first session, I think the conditions were perfect, but it was not. I was expecting it to be harder than what it was.
I'm an average foiler. How can I get faster? How can I train to get faster? You have any tips for me? In like the French language, it's Edan. There was this Spanish guy. He was saying Edan,
Carlos.
but can you please tell us how you pronounce your name correctly, how you want it pronounced into that?
I think I'm fine. I'm just trying to
Ah,
get
mosquitoes,
something
huh?
to get the mosquitoes out, yeah. Okay, let's go.
This episode is sponsored by Foil Sessions, the foiling app that lets you track all your foiling sports.
This is Up on Foil, the podcast for everyone flying just above the surface. Pump, carb, soar, let's foil!
This episode is also supported by Surfears, but more on that later.
Welcome to episode number 66 of Up on Foil, the podcast, where we talk all about foiling today with a super fast foiler. And let me just introduce us real quick. Me, Matt, I'm an average foiler. I'm a dad. I get on the water maybe once a week. And you are Eden Fiander. You're the fastest pump foiler in the world, basically, 2 times Swiss champion. And today, I hope that we're going to learn all about how to pump fast as well. Eden, how are you? Where are you?
I'm currently in Bali for like holidays and also and mostly get introduced to surf foil, which is a little bit complicated in Switzerland. but yeah, so enjoying my time. I've been traveling a lot since June because I finished school for this year doing a gap year. So yeah, I'm enjoying life and foiling around the world. It's cool.
That is so nice. How old are you, Eden?
I'm 19 years old.
And yeah. You just finished what, gymnasium?
Yeah, I just finished high school in Geneva. So got my matura in German. So yeah, finished in June 25 and taking one gap year to enjoy life and basically focus on foiling and also on the competition part. And then next year, I will start the studies again in September.
Very nice. You have already an idea in which area you want to go?
Yeah, I'm going to do Sangal University, Business and Management School.
All right. Very nice. Very nice. And they're in Bali now. What time is it? How's it with the mosquitoes? Is that going all right?
Now it's 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, yeah, and a lot of mosquitoes around me, but it's a cool place to record a podcast. So, yeah.
It really looks, and it's warm here in Switzerland. It's about 0 degrees. So, yeah, man. And yeah. You, how long have you been there now?
I arrived like 5 days ago. So I'm just discovering this amazing place, like the atmosphere, everything's cool, and the spots, of course, are amazing. And yeah, but I've been traveling like, as I said, since June, past the last 1.5 months in Portugal. We had the dealer meeting with Lyft, and then we traveled also to Morocco. So yeah, I traveled quite a lot.
Very nice. We're just gonna get all into that because the first time we actually met, I don't know if you remember, I remember, was a little more than a year ago in Biel. It was the Swiss Championship of pump foiling.
Right.
And you were there with a super small front wing. I remember Gabrinha, if I'm not mistaken. And you were one of the two guys riding with straps. Can you give us the story how you got into like pump foiling?
Yeah, I started pump foiling. It's pretty basic. So I would say before, one of the key points, I was doing skateboarding for like 5 years, and then I got injured twice, nice injuries, about 2 years off out of 5 years of skateboarding, so that's quite a lot.
What happened?
And it's got like I got twice double broken bones, once the arm and once the leg, and my leg was like 90 degrees angle.
Whoa.
So yeah, then I still continued skateboarding, but I like I was thinking about another sport maybe, and I've done wakeboarding for 1 year, which was cool, but not that cool, like not what I was looking for. So then I just tried one day pump foiling. Like the day I finished school, the first year of high school, I went there with my best friend, just tried it out, and I fell in love basically. And then I was like spending 5 hours a day doing 3 weeks on the water just to, you know, start pump foiling. It takes a long time. And then yeah, and then keep training until I reached my level. Yeah.
But when you get, because I always think it's difficult how you get introduced. You must have seen someone somewhere, because, well, was that online? Was that at the lake? How did you get like introduced to that? You saw it somewhere?
Yeah, true. It's not like a very known sport, even though, I mean, you and I, we live in Switzerland, so I believe it's like one of the most pump foiler country and pump foiler friendly country in the world. So we know a little bit about this, but I think like I just saw some guys. I knew about it, obviously, but it was just the day to try, and it was a good one. In fact, I didn't go for this. I wanted to go windsurf. There was no wind at all, and instead of doing like stand up paddle, I think pump foiling is a little nicer. And yeah,
definitely. But like your first steps, were they the same like mine or ours, like our average foilers? Did he struggle as well sometimes?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Obviously, I can't really remember, but I can see videos from more or less the beginning. Of course, it was not it was not the best level I've had. At the beginning, it's still scary for anyone, I think. And of course, tricky, like the balance and the way it like a foil react is very, very different than any sport. And yeah.
And then you got like on the water. Did you like train with some friends, or were you there just by yourself?
No. So I started, and that's the place where I've always been training, in Tropical Corner, which is basically a windsurf school in Geneva. They also have, so pump foiling, that's like, we have about 300 pump foilers a year. So they have like a yearly pass. So we have 300 yearly pass currently. So that's a big community.
That's a lot.
So of course I cannot train alone with 300 pump foilers around me. But no, when I started, we were like five. And then it was during the summer. So that's the high season, of course. So no, I've never been alone. And hopefully, because like being with friends or just like more advanced riders allows you to get tips that helps you a lot to progress in.
And you want to be faster than your friends, obviously. Who's your like closest friend, closest competitor?
My closest competitor on my home spot spot? Well, I didn't start going fast. Like the first time I did a competition was just, I was just thinking, yeah, okay, let's go over there. And I ended up by winning. but I didn't have any I was not hoping for anything basically.
Okay.
So I didn't really know I was that fast. I was not focusing on the fast to go fast. But yeah, so just like this.
When did you decide to ride with straps, and how important is that for your speed?
So first of all, I started to ride with straps like after 1 year of pump foiling.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. And a lot of people around me were like telling me, why are you putting straps? It's super hard. It's dangerous. You're never going to succeed. Like that was some of the comments I was getting when I started. And I believe this today is one of my, it helps me a lot. But what I'm trying to explain is like, it doesn't do everything, you know. It's not because you have straps that you are sure to win. Like, for example, Rob is pretty fast. There's another guy from the US called Brady, who's also fast.
Not
and
as
both
fast
of them
as
are strapless.
Though.
And then Yuri and I, we are strapped and we go pretty fast too. So it doesn't mean anything. And more on the race side, I mean, during the start, to put the feet in the straps, like the front foot is okay, but then you have to pump with the wrong foil setting because your back foot is in front of the strap.
Yeah.
So that's not the best way to get speed. And then you have to put it in the back strap, and then you can take speed. So you lose time at the beginning. And then it's just a question to get used to it, you know. You can pump super fast strapless as you can pump strapped super fast. It's just also, I think it's a personal opinion. And yes, it helps, like on straight lines and on turns, for example. But at the beginning, you lose a lot of time. Like if you have a look at my videos, you can see like I'm always the last one at the start. And then I catch up.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking when I looked at your videos, and we're going to talk about like the SFT and maybe all the events you went through. like getting in the straps must be hard, especially the back strap. Wouldn't it be possible to have like this semi hook, for example? Because like in skateboarding, they have these hooks sometimes on the slalom boards that you could just like slip in and have half a strap maybe.
It's probably possible, but I'm not sure how useful it is compared to real strap, you know? Because anyway, if you have like half straps, you will never put your foot on the sweet spot of the board. You will have to move it. Like you cannot, otherwise it doesn't have any purpose. Like to, if you have to put your foot straight on in the half strap, it's nearly the same thing as a full strap, you know?
Yeah,
so
no,
this
means
you put your feet and then you move them.
Foot a little back. You don't have to like take it off and like swoop it in. You can just like move back a little bit. That wouldn't help.
Not really. The hardest part of straps is to move the front foot, because the front leg has always, like, you put a lot of weight on the front foot, right? You cannot lift your front leg, whereas you can lift your back leg. So you can, like, when you pump, you can move your back leg easily. When you have, you must have pressure on the front foot, so you cannot move it. That's hard. Like, sometimes it happens that, like, one of your toes is out of the strap. Then you need to pump, take speed, bring your back foot forward to keep the weight on the front, bring your hips on the front, and then you can quickly move your front foot. But that's hard.
That's hard. That's hard.
Did you know that spending time in cold water and wind can cause your ears to slowly grow extra bone, sometimes enough to block them completely? It's called surfer's ear or exostosis, and it's part of your body's natural protective response. But ear problems aren't only about cold. Warm or polluted water can also lead to swimmer's ear, infection, and inflammation, whether in pools, lakes, or the ocean. Surf Ears is the original patented earplug from Sweden. It's modular, customizable, and comfortable, designed to seal from water while keeping hearing and balance intact. Sustainably made and trusted by water people worldwide.
I want to talk to you about like this year, because this year it looks like, or it looked like to me at least, that you were all in. You put a lot of focus on pump foiling. It looked like it'd be your job, man. And the first event obviously was Düsseldorf. I remember that because I thought, well, you're gonna win easily. And then it was not the way it turned out. How was that for you? Do you remember?
Yeah. So we can speak about the overall year after. Yeah, Düsseldorf was it was like, I think it was good for me in the overall tour to lose, and to lose by far. I did fifth, but it was super frustrating. Like, first of all, I knew about SFT like 2 weeks before this competition, and as you were mentioning before, I was using a foil brand like the one we met, and the foil broke like at the same time I knew about the competition. And of course, it was the winter season. So for all average riders, it's not like the highest season for us, you know? Like you go, but I mean, the water is not 30 degrees like here. So you avoid going every day. And then, so it was 2 weeks, Düsseldorf. I take my plane tickets. I book the hotel. And then I arrived there. Like I arrived in Geneva. I was in Tarifa when I bought my foil. And I had no gear, nothing. So I tried, and my brother had a lift foil. So I was like, okay, but anyway, I don't have any solution. I'm not going to buy a foil. I'm waiting. I was supposed to wait for a guarantee. And so I train with two wings. One is 775. That's the one I'm using always. And so that was the biggest one. And then I had a 580 or 560. I was also managing it like pretty well. So then I arrive in Düsseldorf after 2 weeks of trainings only, not surrounded by any professional, either on the like the sports side or mental or whatever. And yeah, I arrive there. I do the time trials on the first day, and super good. I win the time trials. So I was feeling confident, you know, but it was super, super tight. As you know, like the times in pump foiling is about like half a second, 1/10 of a second.
Yeah.
And then during the final day, I arrive in, what was it, quarterfinal, against Benjamin May. And there I decided to change my foil and to take the small one, whereas all, like the rest I took, I had the big one. And yeah, I just like, first start, I fall. So it was the best of three. And then second one, I lose. First one, sorry, my bad. First one, I win. So that's cool.
Yeah.
And then second start.
With the small one?
I fall. With the small one,
Okay. Yeah.
So second start are four. So that's 1-1. It's best of three. So the next one is the final one to go to the semifinals. And there, Benjamin beats me. Like, I'm out of breath.
Like,
no time to breathe.
With this difference, right?
Yeah, like photo finish yeah. was not straight. And it was the beginning of SFT and like the organization was great. But this, we'll never know. But I believe it was good and it's probably fair. You know, the referee has the final call. So yeah, photo finish, but still not finished for me. So I mean, finished. Like, I ended at fifth. Yeah, super frustrated and then full of motivation for then the rest of the year.
How was pumping in the pool for you? Because for me, it was an amazing experience. I've never done that before.
Yeah. That's what I say to everyone that asks me. Like, I think like this in Düsseldorf, this event is the best of the year by far, at least for this year.
Really?
Like, the atmosphere in the pool is amazing. It's really presented like a show, you know.
It is a show, yeah.
The setup is cool. Being able to ride the pool in January is cool also, because in Europe, I mean, the temperatures are not pump friendly. So yeah. And of course, it's also easier to ride in a pool and a heating environment. And yeah, I think like the public is also super pumped about the competition. The setup is amazing. And about the race format in itself. Like, you know, it's like two parallel tracks, which is better than being one by one still.
Definitely.
But I prefer being like stable on the same track. That's more technical and tricky. But it's a good combination.
It's more one against the other. It's more like collision is possible.
Yeah, that's the usual track. But as it's a pool, it's pretty narrow. It's, if I'm not mistaken, 20 by 60 meters.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully they will change for this year. I don't know yet, but like last year, it was already nice.
All right. Then what was the next event? We can just go through your events. Was that the US?
Yeah, we can go for the year. So that was seven steps in the year. The second one was in Florida. Super cool event, also combined with Foil Surf Race League and like big event.
You raced against Gwen there, right?
I did. Yeah, it was Foiling Week, so that's also a big event. Usually they're in Lake Garda, and that was the first time they were coming to the US. It was cool. This time I won against Gwen in finals. Also a cool. This was a good catch-up also, because it was like best of five, I guess. Like, Gwen was winning like first round, second round, and then I came back like third, fourth, fifth. Round I won, so this allowed me to take the win. Then we went to Lecate doing Mondial du Vent, so also big event.
Can we just like talk more about Florida? Because I watched that and I'm a huge fan of Gwen. He's so cool guy, such a cool guy. And I saw you guys racing. When he won two times, did you think like, I can still beat him? Or were you like, all right, it's just, he's gonna win and it's just gonna be it?
Well, I mean, you need to empty your head, you know, otherwise like pressure comes and like just destroys your pump for level. But you need just to forget about it and just say, okay, that's a super important round, whatever it is. It's the final, it's the qualifications anyways. And just like think about, you have to give your best, get the start safety, and that's it. And then you push underwater. When you're underwater, there's no really a huge risk of falling. It's just like when you start, focus. So this was like one by one, and of course you get a little bit of satisfaction every time you win. So then for the final one, you get a lot of motivations and you just want to win, basically.
You were just saying that every time you win, that you get a little like a positive feeling, a little kick, and then the momentum somehow changes and you just keep on going. I remember there was some wind as well. How did that like impact you? And you're racing.
True. They were running actually a wing foil competition the other side of the bay. The wind was kicking off more we were going forward in the competition. So this was not good for me, I guess. but yeah, it was fine because we were sheltered a little bit also. First of all, by
no
the
waves. No?
The ocean. No, it was like we had we were kind of in a harbor. But the wind was there, but you know, sometimes it happens and you need to deal with it. Also in Lucat, so the step after, we also had quite a lot of wind. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. There were waves as well. Waves were a problem as well, right?
In Lucat.
Let's talk like the starts. Because in Düsseldorf, I think the dogs were quite good in the US and Florida. There was like just one dog and you were going each the other way, right?
No, in Florida, it was like two separated floating dogs.
All right, then it was somewhere else. All right. Anyway, then let's talk about Lookout, because there were ladders in the water, people holding them, a lot of waves. Yeah. How was that for you, man?
Yeah, so like the competition started, the water was pretty flat, the conditions were good, and the starts were like ladders, so basically ladders with a wooden plank.
Yeah,
I mean a little bit better, but still was not the best start. Like it moved a lot, and yeah, it was super low to the water. I mean, I'm not complicated on the start, mm-hmm. but there it was like 20 centimeters, 30. So then if you have waves, like you have the water basically like pushing up, and yeah, it was going good until the finals. I like a wave came when I started and just my board went like boom and I fell in the water, you know, and this happens, it's fine. So yeah, over there I ended up second, but beside the start and the conditions, the first of all, like the organization was pretty good. You know, Le Mondial du Vent is a very known event. It was associated with the GWA. No, it was cool and some nice riders also, good level. So yeah, it was nice.
I heard that it was pretty cold when you had to wait until your next start. Was that the same with you?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was windy, as I said, still like very, very beginning of summer, like mid spring. So, like May, I guess. Yeah. With the wind, I was super cold. Like I was wearing a neoprene jacket on top of my wetsuit with a poncho and then a jacket on top and a hat. Yeah.
How much more difficult is it for you pumping with a lot of clothes on compared to like in your swimming shorts?
It's a lot difficult. That's why I'm usually the last one to put a wetsuit on. I hate wetsuits. But sometimes it's needed, like, you know, when you are too cold or you get cold, like during the breaks, you just like lose your physical performance, but also like mm-hmm. your focus, and you're just like shaking like this, you cannot do anything. So you need to find a good balance between, first of all, getting dressed between everyone. And then as soon as you're underwater, short, neoprene top, short wetsuit, full wetsuit. We have a lot of options depending on the conditions, you know, you need to. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, when I just like start my dog start, if they're a little wave, it's already so much more difficult. But it coming from the side, it being like you have to start on point because yeah. it's a start that everyone goes, that makes it so much more difficult. Were you able to train that at all? Or were you just like trying to just focus on yourself? Maybe don't start at the start signal, but a little bit later so you don't hit a wave. How do you do that?
That's true. That's like the mistake I did doing in Lucat for the finals. I went as soon as the start was given, whereas I should have waited because like basically a big wave was coming facing me. I mean, sideways and pushing me, like it was coming from the left. I'm goofy, so it was like just pushing my board over there. Yeah, it happens. And then like I usually train every day. So in Geneva, I get also every type of conditions, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a good training. So. Yeah, I guess like the conditions are the same for every riders, you know, we cannot complain about wind, waves or whatever in a, you know, like if it's not 2 meters wave, it's fine. I mean, we can manage it, I guess.
Yeah, it makes sense. Before we go to the next step, you said that Benjamin May, he won. He has been on my podcast as well. And I was pretty surprised that in Düsseldorf, he won already. And then there again, he won again because he's like a bigger guy. You ride a lot smaller foils. And I always thought, well, the smaller foil you're able to pump, the faster you are. But these guys with their strength, they can like accelerate a lot. And after when you went through all that those stages, I really want to tell me how I can pump faster. Were you surprised that the big ones were that good or did you expect that?
No, you know, like some guys always ask me like, what's the difference between a big wing or a small wing. And it's basically like a plane, you know, like a cargo plane has huge wings because it's super heavy, but it goes as fast as a small like business plane. So yeah, I mean, if you are a heavy guy but super powerful with a big foil, you can push it as fast as I can push my foil, even though it's much smaller. And then of course Benjamin is fast, very fast, but like I guess this, for example, in Le Cat, I fell at the start mostly because of my straps, and that's a negative point of the straps. Like being consistent is super important in competition. I mean, generally, but in competition mostly. I mean, that's it.
And he has that mindset, that I want to win mindset, and he has that better than
Right.
maybe some other people. And yes, he's
Maybe better
also a bit
than me,
older, I think. Well, maybe now not anymore, but maybe back then it was. What came after Le Cat?
What came after Luke? Yeah, we had an event in Sicily.
Oh,
Like,
yeah,
of course, it
right.
was like a nice spot to be. I mean, the place was nice. But yeah, the dock was a floating dock made out of wood, basically, like built in one day. So maybe not the best setup, but it was cool. Like the atmosphere was good. We had
It was
like
a party.
maybe,
It looked like a party.
yeah, we had like four riders. So
Oh, really?
anyways, it was nice. It's the first year, so of course some of the events are working less good than others. But I'm sure in the next years, I mean, it's gonna evolve in the good way. More competition, more competitors also, more events, better organized also, because we can always do better. So
And you won that in Sicily as well?
but I was the only man. I guess. No, we were two. So yes, I won.
All right. Well, you still had to be there and to win. We're going to talk about like your season's planning a little later on. And then after Sardinia, you remember what was next?
After Sicily was
And
Atlanta,
Sicily.
I guess. Yeah, Atlanta. In this competition, so it was Atlanta Foil Fest. It was really cool, amazing organization by a friend of mine called Jason from the US. Then he comes from over there. Also we had the Foil Surf Race League, so we had basically two competitions. A lot of brands exposing the new foils. Yeah, it was also a new event. Was great, like for real, and also good level. The American guys that we see less in Europe for the moment were good, and over there I ended up second, so also missing my start in the final. So it happens.
Is that a mental thing?
I guess like you need to be super focused, and if you get overwhelmed by pressure, you miss the start. And there I was very, very tired. Like this was, I went back and forth in one weekend doing the maturity. So like I left on Friday morning because I didn't have any exam on Friday. I came back on, I mean, I flew on Sunday afternoon. So I arrived in Europe like midday on Monday. So that was really going back and forth. And I went through like 3 weeks of exams before. So I was happy with the second place in these conditions. You know, I couldn't really train a lot during these 3 weeks before. I mean, even more because I had to study before. So it was not bad, I guess. And I was really happy to be there because some of my friends were here. And
Yes. Eden, just a heads up. If you see me wobbling around, I'm standing on a balance board also for the viewers. I'm not dizzy or anything. I'm just like trying to get a little training in. So
no worries.
Atlanta, you got second, which is still pretty good. And also because like the other guys who were good in the previous competitions, they didn't go to Atlanta, right? So when you go
No.
to every event, you already have a little advantage. Let's continue. Let's talk about that later. After Atlanta, what was
I can
next?
speak
Was
about
it
this because I got a lot of this.
Yeah,
I
you're right,
got
go ahead.
a lot of these comments, and that's not true actually. I did find it out like in the end of the season. But you have discards. So if you do five
Okay.
events, you have two of the points, of course the worst ones, but they don't count. So
Okay.
I mean that's not true, because more events you do, less events are counted. So
how many competitions are counted? There were seven, you said, right? So how many of these seven?
Yeah,
are
I did seven of them, and only five or four of them have been like counted in my total points.
Right. So if you go to the first four and win all of them, then
yeah,
you're done. Basically.
You have the points policy on the SFT website, which I don't have in my mind exactly, but I know you get discards.
Okay.
Yeah. So this keeps more or less the level, you know, if you do like four events, key events in Europe, and like the points are defined by the prize money. So if, for example, I won being fifth in Düsseldorf, I won more points than in Sicily, than in Florida.
Really?
Than in Les Gardas. Yeah. So, you know.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna have to read up on that then.
Yeah.
after Atlanta was then Les Gardas. What was the next one?
Mm-hmm. So Les Gardas is the same organization as Florida. Folding Week. That's where they have been doing this event for the last 10 years. First time pump folding over there. It was really cool. Well, the dock was not easy. Actually, it was not a dock. It was like a platform to put the boats in the water. So we had to run on either on one side or the other. That's what you were speaking about. And so it was one by one. So it was like basically the competition was time trials on different tracks. And over there we did four tracks and I won four of them. So I would say this was my good event. So yeah, ended up first. And this was the event where I was sure to win the overall title. So yeah. Nice event, I guess.
But how different was it for you to just race against the clock and not against one opponent directly?
I prefer racing against one opponent, of course, but you get much less pressure by being by yourself, which is good sometimes and not that good for some others. But, you know, as you are by yourself, you don't have the pressure of telling you, like, is this guy gonna... You know, you focus on yourself, not on the others. Yeah, this helps to stay and to know what you have to do and to give it 100%. Also, like, it's easy in terms of strategy because you have usually two times. So you do the first one where, like, you just say, okay, I do it, my start easy, I take it easy, I get the first time, even though it's not the best. And then the second one, you give everything on the start because that's where you can win also a lot of time, you know, at least for me, with the straps, you know, if you are fast putting your straps, you can go fast. So yeah, basically take more risk on the second one and for the first one, keep it safe.
All right, makes a lot of sense. Then what was the second to last one?
Sorry?
Did you do any other? Did he, as you were already crowned the winner, did you do the other ones as well? I think it was Traunsee, Austria,
yeah,
right?
Did. Exactly. I did Austria. Over there was amazing. Like, I mean, let's speak about the weak points. The weather, it was super cold.
But it looked beautiful.
It was beautiful, but it's cold. also very good level. We had four dogs, like super well built, very stiff, perfect height. I mean, nothing to say. The track was also very interesting, quite technical. And we were like four riders at the time. So that's more exciting, as I said. I mean, I think it's more exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, just cool.
And then Dubai, did you go to Dubai?
I was in Dubai, yes, exactly. After Portugal and Morocco, I went to Dubai. So this was just an E-Foil event from E-Foil Racing League. I did not compete because they didn't have any spot left. I'm also trying to get into... you were speaking about Abu Dhabi, I guess. No, I didn't go to Abu Dhabi because... Well, there was no pump foiling in Abu Dhabi. There was only wake foiling and e-foiling. But maybe next year, as I'm trying to get into e-foiling with the lift e-foils, won the world title 1 week ago in Dubai, where I was there.
Very nice, very nice. Let's talk about you as world champion. How does that make you feel? Are you bragging with that?
No, yeah, of course I'm happy. I mean, this question already. Like, it's cool. I mean, I guess it's cool, but it's not like a life changing. You just, it's nice. It's more about like it's the reward of the work I've put into pump foiling, and it's also a motivation, you know, for next year. I will still be competing for the next 3 years, I hope, and like defending the title. I'm also like putting a lot of time and energy in training in the water, of course, but also outside. So now I have a personal coach from Geneva, like they're called De Remedy, and they're amazing, like to surround the athletes, and they have an amazing understanding of the sport, and they help me a lot. So yeah, I'm putting a lot of effort to be safe for next season and to give my best, of course. But yeah, otherwise, I mean, motivation is what it brought me the most, but it's cool also for sponsors. Like I'm looking also to, like, the World Tour is expensive if you have to attend to all the steps, and including like the physical preparation and the gear, traveling, training also. So yeah, I mean, I have my foil brand Lift that supports me, and also the prize money of the World Tour, but that's not enough to get the whole reimbursement. So I'm also looking at working for the moment to look for new sponsors. So yeah, I think it's a good marketing point to say, yeah, I'm world champion. Like, I'm kind of the best image if you want to get involved into pump foiling. I mean, I try to at least.
You're totally right. And I was just going to go into that. It is super expensive. I mean, going to Dusseldorf, maybe not that much, but later on, if you travel far away, it gets super expensive. You said that you won some money. How did you finance that? Was that like, just like, you from your jobs, your parents supporting, friends supporting? How'd you like pay all that?
Yeah, well, my parents helped me a lot, but then you know, I'm trying to do all my best also to reimburse them, because I don't want to owe them anything. So of course, like, prize money helped me to reimburse them. Also, I have Lift Foils, who's helping me a lot for the moment. And yeah, for the next season, also a foundation in Geneva. Yes.
All right. Yeah. Super cool. Eden, just before we get like into your actually change of brand, because you said you started basically with another foil and then it broke and then you changed to Lift. Before we talk about that, me as a very average foiler, yes, I usually get my starts pump bigger foils. Like the smallest I ever got to start was at 850, but that was with a running start. I'm an average foiler. How can I get faster? How can I train to get faster? You have any tips for me and for all the listeners, obviously?
Yeah, it's super personal. Like, you know, for example, starting, like the start, every pump foiler does a different start. And for example, I put my front leg first on my board. I've always done it, even though I didn't have straps before. And then so for pump foiling, like, you know, just putting the strength at the right time, it's not about like pushing. It's like you need to feel it, you know. I guess you do, from what I saw you feel it, and you are not pushing the foil. But then when you feel it correctly, you can push it at the right time. And that's important. And also, like, always go forward. You know, some pump foilers are pumping like super vertically. That's good if you want to like spare some energy. For example, wake tipping, you pump very high, you bring your feet like closer to each other so that both legs work more or less the same. But when you want to take speed, you need to go forward. So your shoulders, everything goes forward, you look forward. And your legs must be a little bit wider, like the stance wider. This allows you to have more pressure.
Okay, all
that's,
right.
That's what I would say.
How about the cadence? Is it better to do like big movements and huge movements, or just a higher cadence and smaller?
That's very personal, I guess. And also depending on the gear. Like, as you know, the length of the fuse and the fuselage and like the size of the rear wing kind of decides how you have to pump. But for example, Yuri is using like a very short fuse and a very small stab. And so he pumps like really like super, super quick. And me, the opposite. I really take like the whole length of the mast. Yeah, there's not really any rule, you know. It's, you do it like you feel it. And and maybe it will work and otherwise you change. Yeah.
When I just think about that, what you're saying, I watched some runs in Crozon. Have you seen some footage of the Crozon Foil Festival?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Why did you decide to not go there? A and B, have you seen some of those guys? It looks different to other palm foilers I've seen, but they must be super fast as well, the top guys.
Yeah. I went to Paris. The event, the competition was managed and organized by the same guys as who organized the Crozon Foil Festival. So they do a good job also. And I guess like the riders from Paris are more or less the same than the guys in Crozon. I think like they all come more from surf foiling. So they are used, of course, to small foils, but also like more turny foils. So, I mean, when you surf foil, you want a playful front wing. Yeah, to be honest, I don't know. Like they have bigger boats also. I don't know why they have a different style, but it's true. And I didn't go to Crozon because I had the dealer meeting with Lyft.
So I had to be there.
So yeah.
All right. Then let's talk about your change. Change from Gabrina, was it, to Lyft. That was basically by accident. And then you probably liked it. Did they approach you then to change, or you just kept on going with what you had? How did that work?
Yeah, we just met in Düsseldorf, actually. Alex, with who I am here in Bali, came to me and said, hey, but to be honest, I don't even remember the conversation we had because it was in between my runs. I was exhausted. So yeah, I don't remember. And then I reached out to him like a few weeks later, and then we started the adventure. Yeah.
So, and how was it for you?
It was amazing. Like, I've been sponsored by two other brands before, and being part of Lyft is really amazing. Like, products are, I mean, to be honest, the products are great. You know, they come from surf foiling. We've done like the first high performance foils. The wing I'm using to race, which is the 120 high aspect, has been developed, and the first one have been sold like 4 years ago. If you think about palm foiling 4 years ago, it was everything except the foils we have today. And now today they are keeping like pushing the limits with super high modulus and very thin masts. I mean, I guess everything is cool, and also the e-foil part is interesting. They are bringing like the classic and the e-foiling world together with a new model, which is the Lyft X, twice lighter than the average e-foil. I've ridden it like for a few weeks in the waves, for example. We used it in Nazaré. Like, it serves more or less like a classic foil. It's pretty amazing. So yeah, I love the spirit of the product, but also like the team. I'm here with the team. It's really like a family, you know. We travel together, we have a lot of, we spend a lot of time together, and it's very good time. I mean, that's one of the best point, I guess, for me, which I'm young, I mean, and I need to enjoy my time on top of riding good gear.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Lyft is not very popular in Switzerland, though.
In Europe, I would say, yeah.
Really? In whole Europe? Is that because they have this e-foil focus, and that's not allowed in Switzerland? Or is it's just what it is? And
like,
I don't know.
Lyft foils come from Puerto Rico. So that's not next door. there are a lot involved in e-foiling, which is forbidden in Switzerland, but still, like, we have there are a lot of e-foiling schools in Europe generally, like, mm-hmm. a lot. And a lot of them work with Lyft. Also, I think like the gear is more like surf inspired, you know, working a lot with the Florence brothers. So this brings more like surf foil gear, which is not really the most sold gear in Europe, as you can imagine. But people must know, like, the gear works for everything: wing foiling, pump foiling, wake foiling. So I mean, I think it's sad because people are looking for the best gear, and at least in Switzerland we have always the same brands coming up. You know them. But they must try this gear. It's really amazing, and they have been always first on the market, you know. I mean, I'm always inviting people to try my gear because they must try like good foils that can do everything, you know.
But do you also have a little easier gear? Because I don't think I could use your gear, actually.
Yeah. Of course. We have big wings. So the sizes at lift are in square inches, but it goes up to like 1,400 square centimeters. So easy. And okay. We have like high aspect wings going up to 16 aspect ratio. Of course, oriented on the downwind part, but they work for everything.
All right. Before we come to maybe other foiling sports, you mentioned e-foiling. I just want to talk about Paris again, because there you were not allowed to use your foot straps. How was that for you? And was that because of that you didn't win?
It was challenging. I mean, I was riding my straps all the time since, I mean, the beginning of the year, basically, because I was focusing on SFT. And then we had Austria, and like 1 week after, we had, maybe it's the opposite, but I think like we had Austria and like 1 week after Paris. So I had like 1 week to train for Paris. And
you knew already that you were not allowed to use.
Yeah, I knew. And this was like at the beginning, I said, okay, then I will not go. And then I said, okay, let's go. I mean, it's a let's challenge, like I challenged myself. And not used to it. Yeah, I ended up second. The level was super, super high. Like you were mentioning riders from Crozon Foil Fest. There was like Alex Pham and other surf foilers from Tahiti and from like far countries. So I was happy to win against them. But to be faster than them. But then I ended up second after a guy from Paris, which, I mean, I didn't know about him. He's called Esteban, and he was super fast. I was really surprised.
And he just started pump foiling a couple of weeks ago or months.
He was like 1 year and a half, something like this. Yeah.
Crazy.
It was pretty amazing. Yeah. And he had like not the best gear at all. So yeah, I was impressed.
Did he do the long distance challenge as well? The last man standing?
I did.
How was that for you?
It was interesting. Yeah. I didn't win, of course. I think I hold like 20 minutes.
Wow.
Which was already good. But yeah, I mean, I took it easy. I didn't train for this. But I mean, to be honest, it's not my passion. Like long distance foiling is, I don't think it's that exciting, like compared to going fast and doing sharp turns and competing against guys. But I can understand. And it was a good way to introduce myself to this discipline, and yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it, not that much, but it was funny.
When you just said that the tight carbs, I have another like personal question you might be able to help me out with, because when I pump, I'm usually having a big off stance, and I like more to turn backside, so my back foot is more to the top of the board, and more often than not,
when you say backside, is like heel side or toe side?
Heel side. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And my back foot is on the upper part of the board, and I usually have the problem that when I turn, when I carve a little sharper, that the board starts to flatten out and it gets away from me, and I should take my foot back down, right?
Basically, your front foot is inside the turn.
Yes.
And your back foot is outside of the turn.
Yeah.
Well, that's the good, I mean, I think it's the good position if you want to turn, because when you turn, the front wing creates lift. So you need to put weight on the front, but at the same time, you want to turn. So that's why your front foot is like in the turn. Then when you go out of the turn, so you flatten your board, you take the angle up, you need to put pressure on your toes to go flat, but you lose like lift because you are stopping to turn. So at this time, you have to put also more pressure on the back foot. So it's logical. Then, I mean, it's very personal, you know, like Roby, for example, his board is like a knot, you know, you can put your feet wherever you want. So,
you pump, do you still pump with the Ketos board?
Yeah, I do.
Is that just because of the foot straps, or why is that?
It's just next to me. It's for a different reason. Like it's short. It's if I'm not mistaken, 90 centimeters. Yeah, or 80, maybe 80. So anyway, it's short.
It's small,
I was saying, I'm pumping like with big movements. So it's better to have like a very short board so that you can use the whole length, like your nose doesn't touch the water and then you go up. It's pretty narrow also, which is good because I don't need more like width as I'm not moving my feet with the straps. So good for the turns. Your the rail of the board doesn't touch the water. You can put a lot of angle before touching it. It's very, very stiff. Like, it's really, really stiff. It's also very thin. So this gives you all the feeling of the foil. I mean, my mast, my front wing, everything is super stiff. So having also a thin board allows me to have all the feeling of the foil, and all the pressure I give goes directly in the foil. And also, like, they do the straps insert for me, like, custom made. I mean, it's amazing. Between my old board and this one, I've never changed my strap setup since 2 years, I guess.
Yeah, so, when I think back, when I first saw you, I don't think you had that board yet. It looked like a self-made board you had back then. What board was that? You remember?
It was the Indiana 96 Hydroskate.
Oh, okay. But it was like colored or something.
It was, sandpaped.
Okay.
But
all
at
right.
the beginning, I was using it not sandpaped. And then I loved this board. It was really cool. And that's exactly like the strap setup I had on this board is the same that I have on this one.
All right. Very nice. Very nice. All right. Let's just quickly talk about like maybe what other foiling sports you do. You said e-foiling now with lift. Are you doing wing foiling again as well or other foiling sports?
Yeah. I started wing foiling like more or less at the same time I started pump foiling. So
Like,
that's a little bit more than 3 years. But, you know, in Geneva, wind is not the best point. But anyway, like we can still ride about once a week in small conditions with an 8-meter wing. But I still love wing foiling. I think it's cool. And every foiling sport like brings another... Like every foiling sport has an input in your knowledge of foiling. And so, yeah, I love wing foiling. I wing foil as soon as I can. I also wake foil a lot. I mean, I'm trying to get into wake foiling. I've been wing foiling for the last month in Portugal. I e-foil also. I try to get in e-foiling race. E-foiling race and just e-foiling, you know, like cruising in the waves, for example. And now I'm toe foiling also. So surf foiling with the ski. We've done a few sessions in Nazaré with the team. It's like amazing. I mean, the feeling, we've done like 5 meters wave. I mean, it's not dangerous because you stay in like, you know, you don't wait until the wave breaks. You stay behind. So... I mean, I loved it. And now in Bali, I'm getting into surf foiling. I've done my first session yesterday, got all irritated on my top, but it's fine. I enjoyed it, actually. In 1 hour, I did like 4 or 5 waves. It was
nice.
Great experience. So, yeah.
How much more difficult is it than box starting?
I think it was not hard, you know. I did it with, I don't know how many liters it is, like maybe 30 liters board. Just paddling a little bit and the foam pushes you. You can take your time to stand up and then you pump back to the waves and you can play for like 5 minutes until you are exhausted. So for a first session, I think the conditions were perfect, but it was not. I was expecting it to be harder than what it was.
All right. Obviously, you're super good. And I suppose as soon as you're on foil, you're back where you're comfortable and you can
exactly.
Like go wherever.
Any pump foiler. As soon as like... You arrive on a foil, you can make a foil work without any external power. So as soon as you have a wave helping you, it seems super easy.
Very nice. How much gear did you bring? Because when I think about my quiver, I want to bring always more than I actually should. How much did you bring?
We shared the gear with the team, but we have... 2 18 liters boards that are for either for dock starting or for foil towing in the waves. We have two paddling foils. We have surfboards out there. We have like 5, 6, maybe 7 front wings and a few masts also. So we have good gear there.
That adds up.
Yeah, and also my dog's dad boat that's just next to me.
Yeah, never, but that's like hand, that's like hand luggage. Away. Yeah.
Yeah, hand luggage. Expensive hand luggage.
Yeah, that's true. I saw you on your Instagram, I think it was, like pump foiling in a pool in a hotel. How did that happen?
Yes. This was in Morocco. Basically, Lyft is collaborating with this hotel. I mean, yeah, kind of. So, and it was like, we had a media team on site. It was the perfect time to do a shoot. And they were, the hotel was keen to have these videos. So it was nice. Also, I mean, speaking about this, I must say, like, what I love about pump foiling also is like, you can pump foil wherever you want. I'm doing a video now with Lyft where I'm basically exploring very like different places, you know. As soon as you have water, you can start pump foiling. And I'm trying to get a project ready on a, like a very, very special place. I hope it will happen. I'm not sure yet. Yeah.
So we're probably not, or you're probably not able to talk about that yet. Is there anything else? If you look forward, anything else you have planned? The SFT, I don't know if they have any program yet. That's usually pretty spontaneous.
Yeah, I'm waiting on it.
What does the future hold for Eden?
My future in like the next year is basically to still focus on pump foiling and on the races, you know, in like the output would be to keep my title for the 26th season, which I hope will be the case. I'm at least giving everything I can for the moment to get ready for the season. I mean, for the year, because it's not even a season. And also, the second point is, like, I really want to push my foiling level in all the other disciplines as much as I can. Yeah, and I would say two other points is, yeah, I want to push on social media. So, like, and you know, you're doing the race of followers with
Nico. We don't need Nico, to talk exactly about him, but yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm doing my alone race. Like, I think social media is super important for sponsors today. And I've not given a lot of energy in this because I want to do like content, but like proper and quality content. So yeah, I mean, I want to work on this with projects like the thing I'm working on. And yeah, and the last point would be to ask sponsors outside of the foiling world, water sport world, to, you know, to push the sport. To give an example, Nicolas Plitas, I think this guy is an inspiration for me. His freestyle level is absolutely amazing. And he's working with high-end brand, and I think like the luxury world is super compatible with the foiling world in a certain way. So yeah, I think like this can be successful partnerships.
All right, very nice. Yes, let's actually, for the listeners and the viewers, let's do a little ad for myself, because I'm trying to beat this guy on Instagram to 2,500 followers. I'm around almost at 2,000. So if you're not followed, then please follow on my Instagram at MattOnFlow. Would be super cool. Eden, just two things I really
follow
want
me
to address.
Please.
Yes, that's Eden, EDAN.FNDR. Eden, FNDR,
exactly.
FNDR on Instagram. Yes, absolutely. Eden, two things I want to address. One, your name. When I remember people, because you're French, and if you read that in French,
I'm Swiss, I'm French speaking, but I'm Swiss.
Yes, in like the French language, it's Edon, and then at the SFT there was this Spanish guy. He was saying Edan,
Carlos.
But yes, but let's just, for all the listeners, the viewers, your followers, can you please tell us how you pronounce your name correctly, how you want it pronounced, basically.
Yeah, so my name comes from the UK, so it's pronounced like Eden. It's pretty basic, but it looks, doesn't, it's not that basic for most of the people. Yeah,
all right,
it's good. It's not very common.
Let's have it out there. Eden is a correct pronunciation. And then something else, I just recorded a podcast with Nias Wardias a couple of days ago, and we talked about the Olympics, and we don't know anything yet, but I think palm foiling or winging would be super cool at the Olympics as well. Is that something you have in the back of your head as well, or is that something that where you had you don't even consider thinking about?
Of course, I mean, for any athlete, the Olympics is the Olympics, you know. But so now in the Olympics, they have they have the windsurf with the IQ foil, and they have kite foil with like the kite race league. So we can see that like foiling is is getting into the Olympics. And I guess wing foiling racing will be the next one because I mean it's much older. It's much older than palm foil racing. Yeah, it's much older than palm foil racing. So I'm sure it will work. I mean, it will join the Olympics before it if it joins. But palm foil racing has everything to join it, you know. From what I saw, I don't know about the Olympics, but looks like they are looking for, you know, factual sports. What I mean is freestyling is you give a note, and like surfing and break dancing and skateboarding have been like the first disciplines. But like wing foil racing and palm foil racing is all about the time. So it's factual and it's easy. And I mean, if the sport grows in the good way in the next years, there are chances. Now, if Olympics is in my head, I don't know, because I know like to have a new sport introduced in the Olympics takes a lot of time. As I said, I wanna also keep studying after. And I'm not saying I'm going to stop foiling. Definitely. I want to keep the race as long as I can. But if, you know, if you cannot leave of the sport, then you have to choose, you know.
Yep.
So I hope I will be able as long as I can to combine both. And I will do everything for it. But, you know, yeah, we'll see. That's what I said.
Right.
We'll see.
All right. Let's hope so. I also think like dog starting palm foiling would be super cool. We saw that in Düsseldorf. It's an event. It's a spectacle that you see close by.
So yeah, it's amazing. Cool. It's amazing.
A pool or something could be very nice. Eden, I'm pretty much through. Is there anything you want to tell the world or we forgot to mentioning?
Well, not really. I mean, just enjoy. For all water sport lovers, I mean, it's a great time for us. Like foiling is now exploding, you know, the gear is becoming better and better, more and more efficient. And I think we have to appreciate this and to use the evolution of the gear. I mean, just enjoy foiling and follow me on Instagram.
Definitely do that. All right. Thank you very much, Eden. Thank you very much for the listeners, viewers, for stopping
by. Thank you very much, Matt. Thank you for listening.
See you in the next one. All right. Have a good lunch.
Bye. Good night.